Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Through the darkness and good times, I knew I'd make it through, and the world thought I had it all, but I was waiting for you. The season is underway. Welcome to Football Ramble. I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Vinicius Hantaraja.
I'm Eddie Russell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Oh, real life, real London. That used to be the tagline for the radio station LBC. It is the brand new season at last, everyone. From today, you can have a brand new schedule here on the Football Ramble. That's new Ramble shows on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays every single week, with regular Ramble React shows as well. And we've got exciting changes on the Football Ramble Patreon as well. You can now get all of our Patreon bonuses for just $5 a month. So that's ad-free shows from the Ramble on the continent and up front, plus a special extended version of every single Football Ramble on Wednesdays, all for less than £4. In fact, if you get an annual membership before the end of August, you'll get 15% off, so that's almost 2 months completely free right from the off. Hit the link in our show notes to find out more. But for now, welcome to the brand new Football Ramble season. Lukey Moore, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm also absolutely delighted that we are able, on at the time of recording, to insist that $5 is actually £3.93. So it is under £4 for now. Don't come at us.
The first Google of the show. It's enjoyable.
Won't be the last.
What's your big hope for the season, Lukey?
I've got a few. I'll try and keep it as light as I can.
Right.
Obviously, hoping for a competitive title race.
Yes, that would be nice, yeah.
Because, you know, that's not necessarily going to come to pass.
It's not guaranteed, is it?
No, not at all, not by any means. So I'd hope for that. And I'd also hope, if I could be so bold, within that competitive title race, I'd hope for perhaps a surprising team to be in there. Because although we're all used to Arsenal running Man City close last season, now, at the time, it was quite surprising, which made it more interesting.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see another team do that.
And I'm also
like West Ham if Moisey spends the money wisely.
Yeah. I don't think he's spending any money
no,
at all.
No, he doesn't know where the money's
because
kept.
Because he's being wise. He's taking his time.
Is that right?
And Andrew, I'm being wise, actually. Yeah. I'm not spending my squad money. Vish?
Hang on a minute.
What?
I haven't finished.
All right, sorry.
Still going?
Well, I did say one, but I mean...
Okay, good. Carry on. No, you carry on. You go ahead, Vish. People have heard enough from me already. You carry on.
Make
it good though.
Do you want one of Luke's?
Yeah, have you got one spare?
I'll tell you them.
You had two, give me one more.
I've actually got three, but don't worry about it.
What I'm looking forward to is the many different ways we can patronise Luton Town.
Yes.
They're in a housing estate.
Yeah. Delicious, yeah.
You have to get into the away section with a lockbox. You'll get a code half an hour before the game. but in all seriousness, I am...
Andrew Tate is the Airbnb guy.
Yes, there's that as well.
Can we criticise them for Andrew Tate or not?
Oh, yeah, he is Luton.
He's
isn't
from
he?
Luton.
He is from Luton, right.
I don't think he's a product of Luton.
I think he is.
He's very much a product of Dubai. I wouldn't say he's a product of Luton.
There was a big interesting... We haven't got to get into this now.
He's got a lovely Luton accent, hasn't he?
What's it called? Long read about the estate you grew up on in Luton.
Right.
It's worth reading.
Right.
It's
okay.
Interesting. I'm not blaming Luton Town Football Club.
Yeah, don't blame the estate.
Yeah, for that.
Plenty of people who don't do the things he's done.
True. Absolutely.
Yeah,
true.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's not aspirational. but generally, I'm quite looking forward to just seeing how they go about it. It'd be a great story if they stayed up. You feel like there's so much competition in the league now. When you think of the fact that we lost three established Premier League teams, I'll throw Leeds in there, but you know, three teams who'd been in the Premier League for at least two or three seasons, having a new team like Luton coming in there and just a little bit of a free hit. They're
you
basically
want to see
ahead
Brentford,
of schedule.
Don't you? You seem want to do
yeah, to
get,
a point.
Get up there by Christmas so that they can just enjoy their free fall.
Get a cushion, bloody a few noses. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
Can we get
to
a button where if they win a game, you press it and it just goes, well done, Luke.
And a little sound of like a pat on the head. Yeah, nice. Andy?
I probably shouldn't be hoping for this. This should probably be the last thing I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to watch more of the Championship this season.
Right, okay.
Because after seeing a bit of Leicester Coventry yesterday, I thought, it's something I don't really get time in. Because obviously I watch an extraordinary amount
of
football.
Yeah, you've been always very dismissive about anything that's not top flight football, though. You will just shut it down.
Yeah.
He shuts it down, man.
Does he?
He shuts it down.
Big two leagues, isn't he?
Being offered quite a lucrative offer from like a second tier club and just going, nah. I'm not doing that.
You're always talking
about...
That's
why I was cut from Welcome to Wrexham.
Andy, you've got to cut your cuff accordingly. You have to lose one league you watch, so maybe the Turkish Superliga just needs to...
any league, not that. Okay?
You're like a man with a lot of classic cars and the partner's gone, you've got to get rid of one, Andy.
Show willing.
Yeah. Meet me halfway.
Like Cristiano Ronaldo in the garage. Which one should I drive today?
Andy, if you had to get rid of a top flight European league to cover you could do some Championship action, which one would it be?
Oh, that's really tough.
Yeah.
So you've not thought about it, have you?
Premier League.
Did you see Southampton at the weekend? They were tiki-taka all over the place. Yeah. You can do Spain. Yeah. Get rid.
That was awful.
Premiership?
You don't cover the Scottish Premiership. I was in the pub on Friday night and right in my eye line was the Southampton game on the telly.
Upsetting.
It was annoying.
Did you make you drink a few more than you were expecting?
Can I turn the other way? Can I face the other way?
They've got the ball again.
Pete, what's your hope for this season?
I just want everyone to be safe because, like we said on Friday, there's just too many football matches taking place in the Premier League and beyond. Actually, Rafael Varane came out about 7 minutes ago on Twitter and said that they had a meeting with the FA yesterday, and they said they listened to our concerns for many years, but now there are too many games. The schedule is overcrowded, and it's at a dangerous level for players' physical and mental well-being. And now we can't shout at the referees. Basically, was this point?
There's no outlet. That was actually going to be my second hope. It was going to be. Are we gonna see PGMOL and whoever is in charge of all this stuff properly hit it home on the time wasting and dissent bookings?
Right.
Because it's going to be like the unstoppable force meets the immovable object, unless PGMOL decides basically to give up on it in about 2 months' time, because I get a lot of media pressure about how they've ruined the game again. And then they'll just quietly stop it because they'll get too much negative press. But I mean, so far, it looks like there's going to be absolutely no shit taken at all. Mm. And I'm quite here for it, actually. Mm. I think it's quite a good thing. I think that, you know, you have to be very careful talking about role models and all the rest of it, of course, but it ain't great when players are rolling on the floor, when they're going up to referees and surrounding them, when they're massively running the clock down to get a result they want. And I think if we can sort that out, I think it's better for everyone. I genuinely do.
Not,
so
not Newcastle.
Yeah, I was looking at you and I said
that's
it.
That's
yeah.
all they do.
But I don't think like the adding time at the end is actually a solution to that. Because if you think
possibly
of what,
not.
Because if you think of what time wasting does, it breaks up play. Yeah. It disrupts the flow of the game.
It does.
Stagnates the game. Stagnates the product as well.
Yeah.
And it needs to be enforced at the time it's happening rather than added on, because you don't actually get
slap
that time back in a game.
Run over and slap their leg. Stop that! Get up! Get up!
Well, no, yeah. But like,
oh, yeah,
like
Jav's
no.
got a broken leg.
Yeah. Maybe less so with injury, but so, more so when you know teams are fucking around deliberately. Yeah.
But, the disruption of a flow, you know, that's not going to be helped by stopping the clock when the ball goes out of play, because people can still take ages to get going again.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, I think it does, because if you're stopping it on 20 minutes, you're getting the 25 minutes up to the half, aren't you? You're not you're getting the
no, you're getting minutes. The time back, but you're not getting the momentum back.
No, sure,
yeah,
I'm not,
that's
but,
true.
But that is very true. But you were also not getting it back by adding it at the end. You're just creating this weird little What's going to happen this season is we're going to actually see loads of thrilling finishes akin to, do you remember Arsenal Liverpool at the Emirates ages ago when like Dirk Kuyt scored an equalising penalty in the 100th minute?
First minute, yeah,
yeah. We're going to see loads of games like that. And I think we're going to kid ourselves into, or some people are going to kid themselves into thinking, God, this is so dramatic. This is amazing. And actually, people are just going to be shattered.
Yeah. Do you think the referees will just be sort of exposed as having very few powers to actually deal with time wasting as it's happening?
Well, I think that's the thing actually, Pete, isn't it? Because the fact is, so many things are now measured super precisely in football, like offside to a hair's breadth, for example. But I think it's extraordinary that, I mean, the get out is when you hear it at the ground, well, there will be a minimum of 4 minutes of stoppage time. It's so imprecisely measured.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem, isn't it? So not only are you losing momentum, but you're having a really imprecise just guesstimate of time, really, aren't you?
You also, I always think this with added time previously, that actually when you're watching our football, you're good at guessing it. And it's not because you're tracking the stoppages. You're like, how does this game feel? This feels like a 4 minute added time.
Yeah.
I mean, I once got subbed at half time in a Sunday league game and had to ref the second half because the refs didn't turn up.
Nice.
And I realised about 15 minutes in that I'd left my watch in my bag.
Ah.
And so what I had to do is, while a corner was being taken,
watch the sun.
I had to jog.
Watch the sunset.
I had to. Well, of course, in my day, it was like, how long is it going to take that man to take the stone tablet to the top of the mountain? I jogged over to the side of the pitch while a corner was being taken, and I sneakily took my digital watch out of my bag and like estimated how much had gone. But I noticed in the last 5 minutes, everyone was puffing. So I think I played like a 50,000 and a half or something.
I'm pretty sure Mike Dean did that in a Premier League game once.
Yeah.
Pete, the other thing I was just going to say, is that, you know, the raff of round point and the amount of games that the players are having to play now also comes into play by this decision too, because the majority of injuries happen
quite late
on. That's why when you sometimes see a player being subbed off for 10 minutes to go, it's like, what's the point? Well, the point is, in that 10 minutes, if he's absolutely knackered, there's a much higher chance going to get injured. The fact they're going to be playing not just more games but for longer as well is a really interesting aspect to it. But when we put this question on Twitter to our listeners, basically 65% of the responses on what they were hoping to see this season was, the answers were, your dog texting you back.
Yeah, okay, so, nice. Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
That's their priority.
He's got a burner, I don't know where he's got it from. And speaking of the injury time,
carry lines.
Pep Guardiola says that the big brains never consulted people in the game with the new injury time rules, but his team did fall foul of, a penalty shootout. Arsenal won, Manchester City won in the Community Shield. Trossard, 11 minutes in the 11th minute of stoppage time. Quite a fun match, really. Just had a lot.
Was it?
Lot going for it, I thought.
I thought it was. I found it quite interesting. Do you not like it?
I found it interesting.
You're only like cricket now. Oh, the Ashes. Get over it. It's finished.
Fast moving. I like fast moving games. Yeah. Like test cricket. Yeah. I thought it was, you know, obviously we talk about it as a curtain raiser. This felt a little bit more like a dress rehearsal.
Mm. Yeah, it did
and
last
that's
year
not
well.
A problem. But then it got a bit aggro in the second half, and I did like that.
Yeah, it did last year as well. This is the thing. If you want to read too much into it, you can remember that in 2022. Liverpool beat Man City 3-1 on the Community Shield.
And Haaland flopped as well.
He
never came good.
Well, he had loads of amazing moments, but he never actually took the chances.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Nunez obviously was the new sign at Liverpool and he scored. And that was the kind of, that was the default kind of narrative off the back of the game. And then look what happened in the season. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
So real players have contempt for the Community Shield is what we're saying.
I think the FA themselves have contempt. Haven't they been forced to rename it the Community Shield?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a lovely little fact. That.
So, because they didn't give enough money to charity to call it a charity shield. I mean, is that true? That was the rumour.
Captain Tom-esque, isn't it?
The FA have built themselves their own day spot around the back of the office.
For the exclusive use of the people who work for the FA.
Because it's what a dead man would have wanted.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot was made of Kai Havertz missing a couple of chances.
Yeah.
Just like Haaland. So he'll probably go on, kick on to have a season just like Haaland.
But Havertz was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
I
mean,
he's always pretty good, though. That's the thing.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we've had this discussion. I've had this discussion a lot with Chelsea fans. I still think he can be made into a number nine. And I was saying that when he was there. I certainly think that's the case with Arsenal. I didn't see anything to disprove it in that. Of course, the fact is he missed a couple of chances that, you know, arguably, certainly the second one probably should have scored.
Mm.
But getting himself in the spot, I thought his movement's excellent, his touch was excellent. And the idea that he should be a finished player is his age. I don't mean in the internet sense of a finished player,
yeah,
but like the finished article.
Pipe Havertz.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's ridiculous. Why can't he still be developing? The fact that he's cost a lot of money shouldn't mean he can't still develop.
Yeah, yeah. Because of his age, you have to assume that he can. He can change and can shift into maybe that number nine. In terms of I thought he had a decent game yesterday. I actually thought like it's probably a game that's a little bit of an anomaly in terms of his role, because bear in mind, you know, both teams looked a bit rusty and Man City, one of the few teams where Arsenal will play like that against. Otherwise, they'll basically be on the front foot as soon as they get up to speed.
Mm.
And who knows, when they eventually meet City this season, they might be in that headspace as well. But with Havertz and the number nine thing, I always get the impression he hates contact. And I don't mean that in a cowardly way.
I just mean
like, he always prefers to be in space and like work in space rather than like be touch tight to someone.
I totally agree with that. And that's why I think that, as I said a week or two ago, that obviously Jesus being injured is a factor. I actually thought he'd play Havertz a bit deeper and play Nketiah maybe.
Yeah.
And I think going forward, I disagree with Andy, which obviously is a very difficult situation to be in, because normally you're absolutely fucking wrong when you disagree with Andy. I think he plays deeper and I think he plays behind Jesus, and I think that's the plan for him, personally.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why he can't play both positions.
Is it not just because he's so good in the air, people think, oh, he can be a number nine? Because he's a really good header of the ball, right?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Certainly.
Right, okay.
That's what gives you the idea that he's got the potential to be a good number nine. I'm not saying he's a great number nine at the moment. I'm just saying I don't see why he couldn't be.
Okay. You think if he was 3 inches shorter, he would be played more in a more withdrawn role, even at Chelsea?
Always fighting for the small man, Vish.
I know,
nice.
Do you think if he's 5'7", he'd be a wizard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like little Guardiola wizards.
Are you 5'7"?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I thought we'd be the same height.
Are you? Okay.
So what are you?
You two are Marcus.
I'm 5'8", yeah.
Well, 5'8" and Marcus. I'll say I'm 5'8" as well then.
Yeah,
we're the Shot Kings.
Well, speaking of late goals, this season the Ramble will be sponsored by Betfair again, and this year it's all about Betfair's 90-minute payout, where winning bets placed on the match odds 90 market will be paid out if the bet is winning at the 90-minute mark, regardless of the full-time result. Betfair paid out 577 bets on their match odds 90 market yesterday for the Community Shield. So 577 people who bet on Man City to win still got their winning bet despite the late Arsenal equaliser. And you can find out how we're getting involved this season on the preview show every Friday.
I really very much did enjoy Rodri going for a halfway line shot.
Great!
Because the goalkeeper's in the sunshine, so you probably couldn't see that well. He is under pressure because there's another goalkeeper possibly arriving.
Yeah.
And he's off his line. And he still managed to get
there.
And
like
I was
Rodri,
like, good on you.
It's like Rodri saying, this will test you.
This is narrative just
perfect
taking
storm.
Over. Yeah.
I also like the fact that Rodri's he's seen all the stuff that's happening around how much football they're going to have to play now.
Mm.
He said, you want a circus clown, do you? I'll give you one. I'll give you a trick.
I think Jack Grealish has made him do that, hasn't he?
Lee Dixon was fuming.
Was he?
Really?
Absolutely.
Why?
Fuming.
Why?
Because the goalkeeper wasn't wearing a cap.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right, okay.
And Lee Dixon, later on in the game, started talking about it, like his kid's cuddly toy.
Yeah, and that he hates formations.
Yeah. Like, he was leaning a bit too much into Mark Lawrenson yesterday.
And he forgot where he was, do you reckon?
Do you think he was in the pub?
He was like one of those...
Well, he thought he was in the pub.
Who was the pundit who did that wanker sign by accident because he didn't think he was on air?
Ginola did
Ginola,
one. I think
yeah.
someone else did it.
Yeah.
As well.
Maybe Honigstein did it.
Humphreys.
Yeah, they did it in the same weekend, didn't they?
Brilliant.
And I think that was
the
Lee
second
Dixon
was a tribute to the first, wasn't it?
Lee Dixon doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to. You're right to cast him as the new Mark Lawrence, and I think that's one to watch, I reckon. But yeah. ITV don't get that much football, do they? So you probably won't hear him much.
Speaking of backing off and giving players plenty of space to do their thing, Cole Palmer's goal was a
beauty.
But he had so much time and so much room to do what he did. Yeah. You can't be given. I think because Cole Palmer's probably, you know, on the younger side, let's say, you do sort of look at him and go, oh, he's probably not going to, oh, flip it.
Yeah, there's probably that, because if that's Mahrez, you know exactly what he's doing. He probably cuts it off, but they're like, let's see what this is about.
I think
about.
It's because of the point where Tierney loses the ball, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's actually relatively high up the pitch. So as soon as he's lost the ball, Palmer's got space. Mm. Really,
I find it fascinating. I mean, the kid will be, he's 21, I think. Mm. He's not young for a football player. And he just never plays football.
Right,
so it's amazing to me how
good him.
Yeah, Andy, it's amazing to me how he can do that in a shot. Fine, it's not played at 100% like rip roaring pace, and it's the curtain raiser for the season and all the rest of it. But he never really plays consistently with players that good or against players that good. Mm. Yeah, he still does that.
But isn't this Guardiola theory that, like what he did with Phil Foden, the idea that rather than sending him out on loan to Swindon Town when he's a teenager, perhaps rather than, you know, learning bad habits off old lags, it might be better for him to train with some of the best players in the world, and then when he's called upon, it will actually be ready.
There's a lot to be said for that, and I think it relies so much on having a good squad, like a good senior squad with no layabouts, and you can understand why, you know, when you see someone like that, actually the first domino in that sequence to getting Cole Palmer to be the player that he could become is almost like rooting out a Joao Cancelo, rooting out the older players.
Right. You're
get
absolutely
a bit
right, because it's brutal. The way he got rid of Cancelo, it's just brutal. From like fallout to dispersals, like blink of an eye, really.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't want Elon to get this any more than necessary, but people always use Phil Foden as that example. But I can't really think that of that many other examples. And there's obviously a reason why so many players who've gone on to do really well do go on loan. So I do think it's a bit, you know, it's a 6-2-3.
I'm specifically talking about Manchester City. I'm not talking about other clubs.
And if you look at the number of players that have left Man City because they're not quite of the standard and have succeeded elsewhere, they're all players who are basically being flooded in the market now. And bigger teams are trying to pick off.
It's a great goal for him anyway.
It was. And I mean, I guess Man City is probably the only club in the world where if someone says, he's been bombed out, he's training with the youth team. Good.
Probably learned something. Congratulations on scoring your decisive penalty as well, mate.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the BBC announcer. The BBC commentator who said, who had his line, Vieira to win silverware with Arsenal sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Just as he hits the run up to the penalty was so short he couldn't get out quickly enough. So he sort of went, Vieira win silverware with Arsenal sounds familiar, and it's already in the net. And you're like, oh God, like what are you doing? Didn't give me enough time.
Maybe when you said announcer, that's the better way to deal with it during penalty shootouts, because I think the commentators put quite a lot of pressure on themselves to come up with something. This could be the most meaningful moment, so I've got to say something really meaningful, everyone. If it was an announcer and like they sort of banged a gong and went, Fabio Vieira. Yeah. And then he just took the pen. That might be quite good.
You do, I mean, you do really look like Fabio Vieira. And it's confusing for me.
Shame for him because I'm 42.
No, exactly. He's gutted. You'd normally been put in goal by then.
Yes.
So normally I don't even get a referee.
They won't let me work with the fabric of the game.
No.
Have you left your watch behind before as well?
I don't really wear one, to be honest. Yeah. Man City have completed their signing of Josko Gvardiol. In the introductory video, he obviously was asked what his all-time favourite movie was. He says, I don't have it. Then they tried TV series and he says, no, I don't watch it. And he's a man who almost quit football at Dynamo Zagreb to become a fishmonger back in the day. He almost wasn't this amazing footballer.
That video, it's no point doing it. There's no point doing it.
Just spike it.
He looks so scared.
I know. The whole point of the video is, hi fans, here's a new player, here's what he's all about.
Yeah.
He's not answering any questions. It's not a fucking police interview, Josko. Just be yourself.
Just make something up. Do you watch? I mean, do people watch television anymore?
Just say something from Netflix. Just say any Netflix series.
Yeah. I listen to podcasts instead.
I love it if he went, German series Dark. You'd be like, what? Where's that come from?
I watch just a lot of like documentaries about really dark series. Oh God. But yeah, he was apparently at 21, was considering a lifetime of 4 a.m. starts to sell fish in Zagreb.
Now he keeps things out of the net.
Nice. Good. I like that.
Actually, fishmongers don't catch fish, do they?
No, they just sell them.
Yeah. Oh, too early at 4 a.m. Like, the fish are going to be still dead at 10. Start net. Never understand it.
Yeah,
put them on ice. They're going to go off. They're only on ice. So
Pete Dawson's fishmongers, freshness guarantee. It's still fucking dead. I'm not giving you a live fish.
It's not going anywhere, is it?
Are you smoking and passing me the fish with the same hand?
It's still dead.
You would be an awful fishmonger.
Why would? What a weird insult.
You would.
I don't come here. This is the opening game of the season for the Football Ramble, and you're saying that I wouldn't make a good fishmonger.
You wouldn't.
I look great in white.
You'd look really short in the long coat, wouldn't you?
Well, if I got me and Vish on each other's shoulders.
I'll tell you what, some of your scallops and some of Marcus's bacon. Ooh,
yeah,
lovely.
Lovely stuff.
But you only eat frozen scallops, don't you?
I do only eat frozen scallops.
So you could do a frozen fishmonger.
A frozen fishmonger.
Why are you eating them frozen? Why don't you leave them out in the sun? They're not going anywhere.
I'm just hanging out
still
in
dead.
Iceland.
Yeah.
I said a big court, yeah.
Anyway. I don't think you'd be a good fishmonger, that's all
no.
I'm saying.
The thing is, you've
not got it in you to deny it.
I'll take it on. just tied us up at 4 a.m. trying to catch my own fish.
Yeah.
Andy, you were elsewhere this weekend, and by elsewhere, I mean you're watching Spurs do their thing.
Yes, that's right.
Had fun? Did you have fun?
Yeah, I did. I did have fun. I'm not sure how much fun Harry Kane had for a man who scored 4 goals.
Right. Did it look like a farewell goals?
It looked like a lot of emotional blackmail from the Spurs fans.
Oh, what, they were all like, yeah, come on!
Who sang
Harry, don't go!
The only song they sang for the whole game was the Harry Kane is One of Our Own. Like,
right.
Every 3 minutes.
That seems awkward if he's about to leave.
Possibly.
But I mean, they obviously know that, like, there's a futility to it as well, but what else can you do?
Yeah,
like, as a fan, like, what else can you do? Like, they'd obviously want him to stay. Although I think Spurs, like, you know, certainly a few Spurs fans that I speak to are very much like, look, mate, just go,
get it done,
like, you know, stop this.
It's a big distraction.
Nip it in the bud, because it's only going to happen again next summer.
It's not him, is it? Really, it's Levy, and you know the fact that Daniel Levy on the day of the big deadline with Bayern, you know, accept our offer or don't accept our offer. Went on holiday with
rate
his
that.
Family.
I rate that so much.
It's extraordinary, really. I mean, not only does he not care what Uli Hoeneß and Karl-Heinz Rummenigge think, he doesn't care what the fans think, he doesn't care what anyone thinks. But I just don't understand. If it's still open-ended, I don't understand what amount of money would make it worth Spurs selling him. Am I missing something there?
No.
Like, in terms of what it would do to the club, the sense of ambition, the atmosphere, what it would do
to his position. That's what people say, because they say Harry Kane isn't the type of player to just down tools and sulk for a season. So I totally understand that point of view. What I would say, though, is just that, you know, the noise that came out of Kane's camp about how if he's playing the opening game of the season, he wants to stay for the season, just says to me that he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to leave. And, you know, realistically, a player of that profile, of that kind of stature and of that ability and of that fee, realistically, now we're already on Monday. Season starts this weekend. Mm. So are we really expecting a deal to be done and completed between now and the weekend? I don't personally think it will.
I really hope so. I'm going to the German Super Cup on Saturday.
Well, there we go. Well, maybe you should put that in the negotiation.
Yeah.
Have you considered the fact that Andy Brass was going to be in Germany at the weekend? Can we look into it? I don't think he ever wanted to go. I can believe that...
No, I don't think he really, really wanted to go.
I could probably...
There's a difference between considering and being desperate to get out, isn't there?
As I said last week, I could consider at a stretch the fact that he would have gone to United. He's not going to go to United now, because for obvious reasons. But that's not that far away. Mm. He's a bit of a homebody. He probably wouldn't have to spend an awful lot of time away from where he's used to being, et cetera, et cetera. I could see that. I can't see him go to Germany. I just don't see it happening. And the reason for it, the simple Occam's razor reason for it is, if he wanted to go, he'd have been gone by now.
Yeah.
There's no...
Yeah.
What's the, tell me, tell me
Daniel
an argument.
Levy is the thing stopping him.
I don't think that's realistic. Harry Kane's got all the cards. He can make a public statement. He can push it. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, he did do that, didn't he? I think maybe because he wanted
a new contract.
Yeah, and because of how badly they botched the Man City thing. I think
that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You do it
once, I think you get away with it. You do it twice, maybe you start to torch your legacy. And to me, it does feel that that would be quite a big thing for him.
There was an element to that with Wayne Rooney with the contract, and then the more private but actually public falling out with well, I suppose with Fergie and people behind closed doors at United, that you kind of get to that stage where it does sour a bit. Like, certainly not for me, but for someone like Harry Kane, who clearly thinks about that stuff, I suppose I appreciate why it's a bit more, well, he's a bit more quote-unquote subdued this time around. Mm.
Apparently, Bayern have reportedly already arranged a house for Kane. After their last bid, he's just got a big old castle, big Bavarian castle.
What do you think? Kane thought, oh, they've got houses in Germany. All right. In which case, I'm up for it.
I've just started an Austro-Prussian war again. I just looked for the Amazon locker around the corner. I don't know how I did it. All right, then, before we hit our ad break, we had this tweet from Peter. Thank you, Peter, for getting involved. FA Cup qualifying was this weekend. It was a wonderful weekend featuring some great team names. I think it's Peniston Church. I said the thing.
You read that how you wanted to read it.
Well, it's written down. It says penis.
Yeah, it does say penis. Well, when I used to work for a radio station, they used to have like a guide to, you know, every song used to have a little sort of trivia thing. So it'd say like, my greatest something or other by the Cardigans is on the Gran Turismo 2 soundtrack. Completely useless information.
Right.
But one of the facts was that CC Peniston.
Yeah.
And it said pronounce CC. I was like, that's not the one you're going to get wrong.
Yeah.
That's not going to cause you to say penis on the radio. But FC Romania, Roman Glass St George.
That's a
good
great
stuff.
Name.
It's
good
nice.
Name. My friend managed their team in the FA Cup this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Baffin Milton Rovers.
Baffin Milton Rovers.
Nice. They were beaten 4-3 by AFC Stoneham, though, sadly. At least they're out.
Never mind.
Yeah, shame.
How did they? Did they drown their sorrows? They just.
I can't tell you.
They watched the Southampton match.
Find out for us.
Yeah. Get involved. All right. We'll be back in a minute with more football.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Fayez never complained about the referees and the action, but this action is really incredible. Incredible.
I like that. Another benefit to the Patreon we mentioned a little earlier on in the show. If you sign up to the Football Ramble Patreon right now, you'll be able to pick the show break jingle and get a shout out. Not only that, you'll be able to pick which song lyric Marcus uses for his intro line. Has that been discussed with Marcus?
He's going to be gutted to hear about that.
Absolutely.
He's back on Wednesday, and he's going to be fuming to hear that.
Yeah.
He's
not going to be as fuming as The View and Oasis, presumably.
The only people who are mentioning us. Yeah. I would say that he's a man of God, so do maybe think about some Satan bands.
What?
Like, get him to say some really terrible stuff.
Is it just a coincidence that on this week that we're starting to do this, he's actually now used every single Oasis lyric, so there's nothing else to do?
Yeah,
so
there's nothing else.
To the listeners,
He's tired.
Perhaps do some Satan bands.
Satan bands.
Like,
Cradle
of Filth. Metal or whatever.
Yeah, black metal.
Is there a Spotify playlist for Satan bands?
I almost guarantee there is.
Ask Marcus.
Yeah. The EFL was back. The Championship, League One and League Two all kicked off at the weekend. Some teams did not start strongly. QPR lost 4-0 to Watford.
Unreal.
And we're only four down by the 43rd minute. I would say that, you know, Ainsworth, they've not spent the money, but he did look haunted after that match.
I mean, there was an incredible opening weekend in the EFL, right? There's injury time goals at Pompey, Leeds, Norwich, Watford as well, I think. QPR took an unbelievable pace. They were 4-0 down at half time, I think.
They conceded after 35 seconds.
And Ainsworth sounded, you say haunted. When you look at him, with the dyed black long hair and the leather jacket and the gaunt kind of look at it, he does look haunted.
Yeah.
He looks like a kind of trucker who's been working for too long.
Yeah.
But he also sounded insane in the post-match. Like, if you took that post-match interview and said, when do you think, what time of the year do you think that interview happened? You would not be saying the first weekend in August.
Yeah.
He was like, we're going to still fight. We're going to fight for this.
Who was his kind of, was the pre-match kind of entertainment he brought out to inspire the team?
Oh, that was back in the summer.
That was last season.
Like a Maori warlord or something?
Because when QPR tweeted, we're 1-0 down, and after 35 seconds, they left out the 35 seconds bit, but you can guess.
Yeah.
People were replying with the
go and get him.
Go and get the hacker.
But the thing about it was that. What I'm not kind of criticising him for kind of trying to build a narrative and an understanding of like what things mean, and I get all that. But what he in that video with the Maori guy, what he hasn't understood is that his players just don't give a shit about that.
Yeah,
it's the connection between that and the group of players wasn't there.
But
so it makes it a little ridiculous. You end up feeling sorry for the warrior, not for the player.
Yeah, I did actually.
Don't you think that's what happens when you're at a club for so long that you're completely understood? And you understand as well.
Yeah.
And then you go to a different club, even the club that you've got a playing history with.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. It's not just stepping up a division. It's a totally different culture. You know, Wickham's a smaller, more particular club that he's part of the furniture at. And the way you were talking about him reacting after that, really, I don't think he was saying anything daft. What he was saying is what everyone else already knows, that the whole world feels he's lucky to still be in this job after the way that last season ended. Mm. And when you go into a season with that feeling that you're on borrowed time, you need great results straight away.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're kind of fucked.
Yes, well, I mean, there was an amazing game at Barnsley Port Vale as well. Barnsley beat Port Vale 7-0.
Yeah, Barnsley do not want to be in those playoffs again. They want automatic promotion.
That was the manager's first game in charge. Port Vale that's another ridiculous game. Port Vale just gave up on the opening day. At least show you're up for it. Just show that you're playing for the shirt. Opening day, we're fed up with this. It's 45 games to go.
Longstreet, I looked at the price of the season ticket. £420 for the Longstreet end season ticket.
Bloody
lovely.
Hell. Wow.
Imagine paying that the day before. Walking through the doors. Come on. Oh, fuck.
Hope we see loads of goals this season. You are going to see loads.
The Premier League's relegated teams had it far from easy, though. Southampton beat Sheffield Wednesday at 2-1 on Friday night, Hillsborough. I mean, I would say that Saints making 477 passes in the first half. We mentioned it early on. It was an incredible performance for Southampton. Not much cutting edge in the box, you would say, but they just constantly it was like they were playing piggy in the middle, like they were just like passing around these guys.
Yeah, and then obviously Sheffield Wednesday are not a team that people think will do very well this season, but they just snuck a result away from home on the opening day, which is decent. I mean, speaking of the promoted the relegated teams, Leicester, that Leicester Coventry game was amazing. But I mean, Mads Hermansson made one of the best saves you will ever see. I mean, on the opening day it was a fantastic save. And then Kieran Dewsbury Hall, I mean, if he's still at Leicester come the end of the transfer window, he's going to have a ridiculous season. He's far too good for the Championship. He should have had a hat-trick. He should have easily had a hat-trick. He was sensational from what I saw.
But Leicester generally are going to prove they're far too good for the Championship. Yeah. I think they've signed quite sensibly as well, even though they've lost some big players. I mean, I always think with the Championship, if you're in touch with like the top six, if you're a relegated side, when you're going into Christmas, you're fine. Because there's so many games left to launch. You're still probably on for like 90, 95 points. I feel that's where Leicester are. I think the interesting thing is how good Enzo Maresca is going to be. And the whole pepness of it, I think, is fascinating. It's not just the boldness. It's funny, I was walking past the screen at Tottenham yesterday while they were showing the Enzo Maresca's post-match on Sky Sports News with my kids. And one of them went to me, "Why is that man doing an impression of Pep Guardiola?" Yeah. And they're pointing at him, like his mannerisms, the way he rubbed his head, like everything. And I'm like, I see what you mean there.
He's that infectious. Is he? That you end up doing an impression of him.
I guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because Maresca managed at Parma, right? But I just assumed that Parma were an absolute basket case at the time, and he lasted about 10 minutes a couple of years ago. I don't know any detail on that. But other than that, he's not really managed, has he?
No, but he's really well thought of in terms of his coaching, in terms of his ideas and stuff. So it's an interesting appointment with Leicester, because when a big team gets relegated from the Premier League, you assume they're going to go Allardyce or whatever, don't you, really? Or something along those sort of lines. So I think that they've thought about it slightly differently. They're looking at it as a genuine reset, which I think is the best way to look at it.
I'm pleased that they've not gone down that road, because I think I think that's just completely reductive. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be good. The other highlight for me in the EFL, Pete, was was Hugh Jackman at the Wrexham game.
Oh yeah, he was spotted, Wolverine. Yeah. He scratching looks like, around.
Did you see the photos of him?
Yeah, isn't it taking a piss now? Like, we know, like, you're a celebrity club now. Bringing Hugh Jackman,
but I mean, they are mates, aren't they? Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, so it is fairly normal. The thing I would say is, though, and I'll probably ask Pete this because you're across this, is Hugh Jackman a weirdo?
I've interviewed him three times, and he told me the same story three times. That doesn't make him a weirdo.
I would say that is very rich.
Yeah. He was nice, but he was very professional, I would say. Very Hollywood.
Right, because from the photos, he looks
makes
like...
feel like $1 million.
He looks like the favourite one of your mate's dads.
Yeah.
Like, he'd pick you up from the club, whatever time. He wouldn't complain about it. He'd be fine. He'd do it. He just seems like a really nice fella.
He seems a little bit too sincere.
I don't know anything about him.
So he was at the last Ashes test at the Oval, and he...
Okay.
Said it was the most incredible moment of his life.
Yeah.
And that he and
yeah, I could see that, definitely.
But he's watched cricket in Australia. He's also facing over from Shane Warne in the nets at the SCG, Sydney Cricket
Ground. What happened there?
He actually did pretty well.
Why did he do that?
Because he was there. And
was it like when Piers Morgan faced that over from Brett Lee?
A little bit, but a very different feel around it.
Which people said was irresponsible and dangerous, but I bloody enjoyed it.
Yeah. Right. What, just as if the ball goes too fast and he's...
Oh, how fast was Brett Lee? But he probably wasn't pacing it, was he?
Well, he was bowling about late 80s,
right.
Which is... If someone bowls at you at 70 and it hits you on the leg, you feel it's
break your leg, right?
It won't break your leg, but you would feel
so it. So he did six balls, like an over down to Piers Morgan, because Piers Morgan was piping up in the paper about something.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he said, facing over against Brett. And to be fair to Piers Morgan, he's like, okay, I'll do it then. It's quite brave to do it. And he got absolutely pelted pretty much every single ball, right?
More or less, yeah. Yeah.
It looked quite painful. And people were going, that's really irresponsible. You could have killed Piers Morgan and all the rest of it. Well, you know, judge it on its merit.
shouldn't baby Hitler.
Speaking of weird celebrity sport crossovers, did you see Russell Westbrook? I should be asking Vicious, really. Did you see Russell Westbrook at Leeds?
So funny. His face. He's like one of the most expressive basketball players going.
And he's a co-owner of Leeds now.
His face was like, what the fuck is this? They're 2-0 down at half-time, weren't they?
He looked angry that someone had put the scarf on him, didn't
he? So they bounced back Leeds, didn't they? Cardiff kind of, it was a bit of a smash and grab anyway.
Yeah.
Leeds were a better team. And
they bossed it in the second half. Also, with that three of Somerville, Sinisterra and Yonto, like, I know we're talking about these championship teams as being exciting, but I suppose we only find out when the transfer window actually shuts about how... You know how long they'll have this particular group of players for, but they're so exciting. And Dan James had a pretty good game yesterday. Certainly had a decent second half, and it was like, God, they're going to run through teams at some
point. Is this indicative of the idea that the gap between the Premier League and the Championship is just now so unfathomable that even if you get relegated, you still look really impressive. You can lose a handful of good players and still look fucking hell. You still look really
good. Isn't this, like Vish is saying though, isn't this August championship?
So, so a lot more of the players can move on.
It's the difference
between
being a genuine promotion contender, you know, a team that is going to get 90, 95 points or Norwich from last season or Watford from last season.
Yeah, and I suppose all it needs is for a... I suppose this isn't a particularly good thing because it really highlights the inequality of cash, I suppose. But you just need a promoted team to stay up for 2 years and, you know, get a couple of TV deals under their belt and then they just flesh out a bit. And if you, especially if you lose, two established Premier League teams into the Championship, if one of them doesn't come up, that would be unfathomable, really, given the scale of them. But then suddenly, you know, you end up in a situation where you actually have 24, 26 teams who are like Premier League capable, I suppose.
And they just have a basically extended kind of holiday in the Championship.
Essentially, yeah.
They'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, with the parachute payments as well and whatever. Yeah.
Well, I mean, one thing's for sure, Cardiff are not going to be up there by the end of the season. They look pretty poor for me. But we did get a sighting of Leeds United's new sleeve sponsor, the theme park Flamingo Land.
Must have visited. So when we talked about this before, Peter, you weren't on the show. And I wondered at the time if you'd been there because it's in North Yorkshire, right?
Every single summer was like the school trip to Flamingo Land. Very little educational content. But if I'm ever bored or missing where I'm from, I do like to pop on Google and read the reviews of Flamingo Land. This one review is from less than 30 days ago.
Right, so it's modern.
Saw this one this morning. Flamingo Land is a park I used to visit while growing up and I missed the way it used to be. The park wasn't particularly busy, but operations were painfully slow. This meant we didn't get on as many rides as we would have liked. That's where the normal bit ends. There were way too many dogs. I just don't know why people want to take their dogs to a loud theme park. As someone who really considers animal welfare, I found it really upsetting to see so many dogs stressed to absolute bits due to the busy or loud environment. There were people with dogs off leads, and some even tied their dogs up to the rails of Cliffhanger, the roller coaster, so they could ride it. Just the top of the stairs, a dog just tethered, and they're just allowing it.
Yeah. Do you consider taking Sammy
I don't think he'd enjoy it. There's not much for dogs there, to be honest. You could chase a few penguins, maybe.
You take him on the waltzes, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You can't let your dog chase a penguin.
You can't be doing that. But why are there so many
penguins? Can't run, can they?
Not really waddle. They just waddle, mate.
Yeah. Just waddle away.
Unless it's like a slide. Like it's done for.
Thinking of Pingu. I'm not doing the voice.
Have you got on the flume? Marcus can do Pingu.
Marcus can do Pingu.
He does do good impressions, Marcus. He's got quite a niche amount of ones he can do, but once he does them, he does work out of them.
Well, some of them are just like one like noise, isn't it? Oh.
Generally, that's his Tom Jones. Yeah. That's your impression of Marcus's impression of Tom Jones.
Yeah, homeopathic levels of Tom Jones, isn't it?
Yeah. I also like the fact, do you remember when he came to us with his Nick Hewer and he just sounded like a bloke? And we were like, that's terrible. And he's like, right, I'm going to go away and work on that. And now his Nick Hewer's not that bad.
And he did, yeah.
Just you respect
a new father looking in the mirror doing a Nick Hewer. What's daddy doing?
Do some impressions of a football show.
It's a football show.
Make it relatable.
Give us a Jack Grealish.
He's not interested. No, Mandela, Jones, Hewer.
It's Brendan Rodgers' next level.
Hey, Brendan Rodgers is good. Yeah. Brendan Rodgers is good.
Phil Neville's quite good. You've got to turn the volume up, but it's pretty good.
It's just a bloke from Manchester whispering, isn't it? It's
Phil Neville. About beaches.
Yeah.
Well, on Friday, we discussed Tom Brady's announcement as a minority owner of the Birmingham City because of his role with the new ownership group, Knighthead Capital Management. Really interesting chat last week. We've created a subsidiary group called the Shelby Companies Limited.
Yeah, we had a pop about it, didn't we?
We did. It was a bit shit. Jack said, Jack, a Birmingham City fan on Twitter, regarding the Peaky Blinders thing, the Blues have been in the mud for a decade due to a succession of poor owners, ground falling apart, training ground burned down, chairman offering out fans in the car park. Owners are investing in the community, opening new revenue opportunities and giving us a bit of hope again. I think the inclusion of the words new revenue opportunities makes me think he may be closer to the Shelby group.
I'm just a humble fan.
Hello fellow investors. PB thing is a bit cheesy, but it's woven into the culture of Brum these days. Also, Stephen Knight was involved in the takeover, which might explain that. I appreciate this isn't very funny, but I wanted to add some context. Who's Stephen Knight?
He is one of the people involved in Peaky Blinders.
Good,
so,
right.
I mean, the thing is, if you're used to your chairman offering out fans in the car park, I mean, you'll be interested in what Arthur Shelby's got to say when presumably he's involved.
From the weekend of football, did you see the Tigres keeper, Guzman, pulling out a lot of hankies from his mouth or nose?
Am I right? Because I did see this, but I wasn't entirely sure what was happening. So for those who haven't seen it, let me just describe it to you and you can tell me if I'm right or not.
Yeah.
He's facing a penalty, the goalkeeper.
Yes.
And in the way to try and put off the taker,
yeah.
he performs a magic trick involving him pulling a load of napkins out of his mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All on a string.
It's just weird.
And then he serves the penalty. So who's
Are those two things related?
Couldn't have hurt.
Yeah.
It might have done. It could have hurt. Yeah. I think he just started choking on it.
It's a very strange thing to watch.
Isn't like, that wonderful?
Really what's happening? It's really out of context.
I suppose you've got to find new ways. Now you're not allowed to, like, Emmy Martinez.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah. I think we're going to have an absolute vintage year for eccentric goalkeeper activity.
He did a mime as well, didn't he? He pretended to be a mime. Mm.
Yes. That, yeah.
I mean, that should be a red card offence. Let's be clear on that.
A lot of kickers in the Premier League have mimed their way through a few matches. I don't know what.
Yeah.
out in Brazil, Palmeiras fans have been very unhappy with their club's lack of activity in the transfer market. Some wonderful, I would say, not so passive aggressive aggression. And the club president was on holiday in New York City. The fans got wind of this and they rented out a billboard in Times Square with the message, "Where are our players?" This dropped last week. It was a wonderful sight.
It's a strange tactic because if you look at the video, it's just a load of people looking around confused.
Mm.
And you're essentially trying to get into a situation where the president of that club is going to be in Times Square at that moment. Or you're hoping it's going to get picked up in the press and everyone's going to talk about it and then you'll see it.
That's the one.
And be embarrassed by it. Because otherwise it's like a really long shot.
It is. I mean, I guess you can't fly a plane around there with a message. They don't like that kind of stuff.
These days,
not these days.
Also, Peter, the thing is, what they could have done, if they'd gone to that much trouble, they could have followed the president as well.
Right.
Waited for him to walk up the street and then hit it. But it's probably scheduling things, isn't
it? Yeah. I think it's enough that you know that it's in New York.
Vish is still thinking about the 9/11 thing, so he can't speak.
We're all thinking about the 9/11 thing. Right.
Why do Vish and Andy find it so funny, Pete?
I don't know. I just think it's
disrespectful, in my view.
Not right. Anyway, let's get out of here. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Head on over to Upfront for reaction to the Lionesses' huge clash with Nigeria. Looking forward to that one. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app.
Yeah.
This has been the curtain raiser, the opening weekend.
Salvo.
The salvo. The not parting shot. What's the hello shot?
Hello shot. The warning shot across the bows.
The warning shot across the bows for the Premier League and beyond season. We'll be back on Wednesday with more of this.
At the time of recording, England are actually in extra time with Nigeria in the Women's World Cup, so it's difficult for us to cover it.
Lauren James has been sent off as well.
Oh, my goodness me.
She had a Beckham. She stepped on one of the Nigerian players' backs.
Oh,
on the back, that is. Well, I mean, the picture is damning.
Yeah.
The Nigerian players like them are going, come on!
Tune into Upfront to cover all that, though, as you say, Pete, because they'll be covering it in forensic detail.
Lovely stuff. We're all off to watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. See you later.
Oh, what a podcast that was. Great chats and great gags, guys. Now, listen here, everybody. We've had the Community Shield. The Championship is underway. The Premier League gets started this weekend. I have been handed a set of keys to open the gateway to the new season. So may I be the first unofficial person to officially announce the football season has begun. Get out there, fight for those trophies, win every tackle and chant the chants, everybody. And join us every week on the Football Ramble for all your needs, footballing and otherwise. We're back on Wednesday. Don't miss it, you magnificent creatures.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.